All right. Well, you know probably what I'm fixing to say next, so go ahead and grab your Bibles. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. Regular annual reading starts at the beginning of chapter 12 of Vayikra, or Leviticus. And it says this, and spoke Yahuwah al Moshe. And here's what he said. So the words in red, and of course, because that is a fairly common introductory phrase, you know, the Torah portion isn't named after anything yet. It is going to be the first unique word that shows up here, where it says, speak unto the B'nai Israel and say, if a woman child is delivered, bear seed, Tazria. So there it is. That becomes the name of the portion. Tazria is the portion. Begins with the discussion of what happens after a woman gives birth. So if it's a man child, she shall be unclean for 7 days. As in the days of the impurity of her sickness, she shall be unclean. So during the time of her nidah, it's similar. The eighth day, though, is when the flesh of the foreskin of the young boy shall be circumcised. Of course, you know the Hebrew term is bret milah. And she will continue, it says, then, in this blood of purification for 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. Now, on the other hand, there's another option, obviously. What if she bears a maid child, a female? Then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks, not just 7 days, as in her impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of the purification for 66 days. So everything is doubled in the case of a female. And again, it's another example of, it doesn't tell us why. There's lots of midrashic explanation as to why it could be. But on the other hand, the key point is, male and female, he created them, and there is a difference. Imagine that. Now, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether it's a son or for a daughter, then she brings a lamb of the first year for for an olah, a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a chatat, a sin offering, unto the door of the tent of meeting, unto the Kohen, priest. And he shall offer before Yahuwah and make atonement for her, and she will be cleansed from the fountain of her blood. This is the Torah for her that bears, whether it's a male or a female. And by the way, and we know that this is the case, as we see in Scripture for Yahushua and for his earthly parents, if she doesn't have enough money, if her means do not suffice for a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, one for an olah, burnt offering, the other for a chatat, a sin offering. The priest, the Kohen, then makes atonement for her, and again, she shall be clean. Now, in chapter 13, which is where we head to next, we're going to get kind of a break, and this is a, I guess you could say, a famous section of the Torah. It's really interesting because there is a whole lot of detail here, and it's also interesting, and probably everybody is aware of this if we've been through it a few times, that at least so far as the medical world is concerned and what anything I'm aware of, there has not been a case of this plague, which is called Zara'at, or Zara'as, depending on whether you talk about the Hasidic or the Ashkenazi pronunciation. There hadn't been any of this seen on planet Earth for centuries, probably since the Middle Ages. And so the question, of course, is what difference does it make? And I'll contend it's really kind of interesting, and it's certainly there are some elements of the study that are fascinating too. But we'll go through the details regardless. And remember, there are some specifics in here that I think are kind of when you draw this out, they become really fascinating. So it goes like this: here's what Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron, and he said, "When a man has in the skin of his flesh a rising or a scab or a bright spot, or it becomes in the skin of his flesh the plague of..." Now, the Hebrew word is Zara'at, and as you know, I hate the English translation leprosy, because it's not leprosy. And leprosy, also called Hansen's disease, is something different. There may be some similarities in terms of how it looks, but it ain't the same thing. It's not at all. But the person that has this thing, or at least might have it, is to be brought before Aaron the Kohen, or to one of his sons, the Kohanim. The priest then looks upon the plague of the skin in the flesh, and if the hair in the plague is turned white, or the appearance of that part of it is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is, in fact, this thing which is called Zara'at. And the priest shall look upon him. And here's the key. We're going to see this is consistent. It is the Kohen who will declare it to be so. Now, it ain't nothing till the Kohen says it is, in other words. And I sometimes tell the joke, y'all have heard it dozens of times probably by now, about the three baseball umpires. And, you know, I call them like I see them. And then finally the answer is, no, they ain't nothing till I call them. So the punchline fits here because that's the key. It ain't nothing until the priest declares what it is and that it is, in fact, Zaraat. Now, if this bright spot is white in the flesh, and the appearance is not deeper than the skin, the hair of doesn't turn white, then the priest shall shut him up, the fellow that has this plague, for 7 days. And at the end of that 7 days, he looks on him again. Behold, if the plague is stayed in its appearance, and it's not spread in the skin, then he gets to shut him up for 7 more days. Then he looks at him, and behold, if the plague is dimmed, and it is not spread, then the priest shall pronounce. Again, it ain't nothing till he says it is. He pronounces him clean. Tahor, it's a scab. He washes his clothes, and then he's clean. But if it spreads abroad in the skin, after he showed himself to the Kohen for his cleansing, then he shows himself again to the Kohen. He looks, and behold, if it's spread, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Tameh. He has it. It's Zaraat. Now, when this plague of Zaraat is in a man, he's brought to the priest. Priest looks, behold, if there's a white rising, or it's turned the skin, or the hair white, and there's raw flesh in the rising, it's an old Zaraat in the skin of his flesh. Then he pronounces him unclean. He doesn't shut him up because he's already unclean. Now, if the leprosy breaks out, or if the Zaraat, sorry, breaks out abroad in the skin, and it covers all the skin, this is interesting, it covers all the person that has it, from his head even to his toes, from his head to his feet, and as far as the priest is able to see it, then the Kohen looks, and behold, if the Zaraat has in fact covered all of his flesh, he pronounces the one that has it clean. It's all turned white. He is in fact clean. Tahor. But whenever there is raw flesh that appears in him, now he's unclean. Priest then looks at that raw flesh and pronounces him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. It is that Zaraat plague. But if the white flesh says again, if the raw flesh then turns white, he comes to the Kohen, looks on him, and behold, if it's turned white, now he can pronounce him clean that has the plague, because that's what he is. He's clean. When the flesh has healed in the skin of the boil, and it's healed, and the place of the boil there's a white rising, or a bright spot, reddish white, then that one, too, gets shown to the Kohen. He looks. Behold, if it's lower than the skin, or the hair's turned white, he is pronounced unclean. It is Zaraat. It's broken out in the boil. But if the Kohen looks at it, and there's no white hairs, it's not lower than the skin, but it's just dimmed, guess what? We're going to shut him up 7 days. Then if it spreads abroad, he is unclean. It is, in fact, the plague. This particular plague, and that word, of course, is negah. But if the bright spot stays in place, doesn't spread, and it's the scar of the boil, now the priest can say that he is, in fact, tahor, he's clean. So when the flesh in the skin is a burning by fire, the quick flesh of the burning becomes a bright spot, reddish, white, or white, then the Kohen looks upon him, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot turns white, and the appearance is deeper than the skin, it is Zaraat, it's broken out in the burning, the priest pronounces him unclean, and it is the plague of Zaraat. But if he looks at it, behold, there's no white hair, it's not lower, but it's dimmed. Well, again, going to shut him up 7 days. Priest looks upon him on the 7th day. If it's spread, he pronounces him unclean. It is what you knew it was to be, but the priest has to declare it. And then if the bright spot stays in place, doesn't spread, but it dims, it's the rising of the burning. He's pronounced clean, for it is, in fact, just the scar of the burning. Now, whenever a man or a woman has this plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest looks on the plague, the negah, and behold, if the appearance is deeper than the skin, in other words, it's hollowed out, there's yellow thin hair in it, then he is pronounced unclean. It's a scald. It is a Zaraat of the head or of the beard. And now if the Kohen looks on the plague of that skull, and it's not deeper than the skin, there's no black hair in it, then he shut him up for 7 days. 7th day, he looks again on it, see if the negah is still there. If it's not spread, no yellow hair, and it's not deepened, then he's going to shave this fellow. But the skull he shall not shave. Priest then shuts him up that has a skull for 7 more days. On the 7th day, he looks in. Behold, if it hadn't spread, the appearance is not deeper, then he pronounces him, okay, you know what, clean. He washes his clothes, and he's clean. But if the skull does spread abroad after the cleansing, then the priest looks on him, and if it's spread, He doesn't need to look for the yellow hair. He already knows he's unclean. But if the skull stays in appearance and black hair is growing up in there, the skull is healed. And now he's clean. Priest pronounces him so. He's clean. If a man or a woman has a skin and flesh is bright with spots, even bright white spots, the Kohen looks, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of the flesh are of a dull white, it's called a tetter, if it's broken out in the skin, he's clean. But if the man's hair falls off, he's bald, but he's still clean. And if his hair falls off from the front part of his head, I love this, this is kind of like, we're gonna say what it is. If it falls off in the front, he is forehead bald, but he's clean. But if there's a bald head or a bald forehead and a reddish-white plague, it is, in fact, Zara'as breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Now the Kohen looks upon him, and behold, if that rising is reddish-white or on his bald forehead, and it's the appearance of Zara'as in the skin of the flesh, he is, in fact, a... Now the term we're going to see is in the next portion is a metzora. He is a man who has got this Zara'at. He is unclean. The priest, it says, shall surely pronounce him to be unclean. This nagah, this plague, is in his head. And this person who has this, the metzora, in whom this plague is, he rends his clothes. The hair of his head shall go loose, kind of scruffy looking, and he covers his upper lip, and he cries out. Remember, you've seen this in the movies, right? Unclean, unclean, or tamei, tamei. He's unclean, cries this out. Anybody that comes near him is going to be warned. All the days wherein the plague is in him, he shall be unclean. He is, in fact, tamei. He dwells alone outside the camp. That's where he needs to be. So the key here, and this is, I think, the thing that we want to take away from this, when somebody has whatever this is, and for whatever reason, and we'll talk about that later, the various midrashic understandings of what this might be. But again, we haven't seen it. But the idea is whoever has this is not fit to be in the camp. There's something which is not just contagious, but pretty nasty. The skin situation is the visible demonstration of it. The priest declares it, the Kohen declares it, but then he's unclean and he's outside the camp. That's where he lives. When the plague of Zara'at is in a garment, which is kind of amazing, but it can happen. It can be in a piece of clothing, whether it's a woolen garment or a linen garment, or the warp or the woof, whether it's of linen or of wool, or in an animal skin, or anything made of skin, if that plague is greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, or the warp, or the woof, or anything that is of skin, then it is, in fact, this nagah of Zara'at. And it's need to be shown to the priest. He looks upon it, and he shuts the thing which has it up for, 7 days. Then he looks in again on it. If it's spread, or in the warp of the woof or the skin, whatever service skin is used for, the plague is a malignant Zara'at. It's unclean. And that word malignant is mamorat. And it literally is also translated as prickling or fretting. And this is the first time we see this show up. We often think of malignant as being a cancerous, and you can see the connection in the words here. It's something that spreads. And what is going to happen? Going to burn the garment. Whether the whoop or the warp, warp or the whoop, war, I'll get it, the warp or the woof, whether it's of woolen or of linen or anything of skin, wherever this nagah is, it's a malignant Zara'at. It is to be burned in the fire. Now, if the priest, the Kohen, then looks, and behold, it has not spread in the garment or the warp or the woof or anything of skin, then he commands that the thing be washed where this nagah is, and he shuts it up for 7 more days, and he looks again after it's washed, and behold, if this nagah, this plague, hasn't changed color, and if it hasn't spread, then it's unclean, burn it with fire. It's a fret, whether it's the barrenness within or without. But if the Kohen looks, and behold, the plague is dimmed after it's been washed, then he rends the thing out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. In other words, he cuts it out, like he'd cut out a cancer. And if it still appears in the garment, or the warp, or the woof, or anything of skin, and it's breaking out, you know what's going to happen. It gets burned with fire. So the garment, or the warp, or the woof, or whatever thing it is of skin, which you wash, if the nagah departs from them, then you wash them in water another time. Okay, so the first cleaning looks like it did it. We're going to wash them again. And then it is, in fact, tahor, clean. And the portion ends with this verse, and it's a nice summary of what we've seen. This is the Torah of the plague of Zara'at. in a garment of wool or linen, or in the warp, or in the woof, or anything made out of skin, and it is the power of the priest, right, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. And with that, the Torah portion ends. And I'll ask the question, I guess. Any comments or questions on any of that? I always find it interesting when we look at things in Torah, and of course we hear all this stuff, oh, this is all Old Testament, it's all done away with. Well, remember, Yeshua said he wasn't changing one yoder tittle, not the tiniest part, and we know that's still true because heaven and earth still exist. So the logic is real simple. It hasn't changed. So the claim that it's done away with is false. That does not mean that for reasons of his own, that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh can't decide that while the instruction still applies, you don't see the thing about which we're being instructed anymore. And I always like to ponder, what does that mean? The fact that we haven't seen it for centuries, does that mean it's gone away forever? Or is it something a little bit more esoteric? I mean, you'll hear the rabbinate will say, well, it's because when the temple was destroyed, then we don't see this anymore. Or maybe there's some other rationale too. But bottom line, there's no scriptural understanding that it couldn't come back. And I always kind of tend to think that since it does look like it's an indicator, if there was a value in it, I would fully expect that the Creator is perfectly capable of saying, okay, here it is, understand that there's a reason for it. But anyway, it's good to at least be familiar with what it might look like in the unlikely event that we ever see it, or in the more likely event that we can learn something from it.